Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our stories. You tell your stories. You call up and tell your stories. It's embarrassing all around. We are here to laugh with you. We need laughter. We're here to cry with you. We're here to just feel embarrassed together. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn Beat Red.
How was your week? Woo. I definitely did that first.
Gotcha. Well, my week was fine. I had something to talk about. My son is going to school for a lot longer than he was. He's going to school for 6 hours.
It's exciting.
So I dropped him off. He like gave me a confused look and then the gate slammed and I was like, okay, that's that. And then I start walking and I start crying.
Yeah.
And then I go to this coffee shop being like, coffee was going to make me feel better. And I go and I like try to hold it together while I'm ordering, but I can't because the lady's like, are you okay? And I was like, I just dropped my son off and I'll have the feta croissant and like some coffee. And then she's like, okay. She gives me that. Then I'm walking. I see two people that I always say hi to walking their dogs and they're like, how you doing? And I was like, oh God, I just don't know. I don't know. Am I making the right call? They're like, I don't know what you're talking about. So anyway, it was just a very emotional week for me because it's been 4 days now that he's going. He loves it. He's having the time of his life.
Aww.
I have so much time. It's like hope is in the air, but also a little bit of fear too because I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? He's like a grown-up kid. He's like going to Harvard.
It's so scary and so hard when you first drop them off for their full time at school. And yeah, I definitely bawled my eyes out when I did that too. But it is so good for them and their independence though, you know?
But like his backpack is bigger than his whole body.
I know. That's how it is. That's literally
like,
how
okay,
it is.
Do you want me to get, but they want, it's a Montessori school, so they want him to carry it in. So I'm like, okay, here you go. And he's just like, he's dragging it. But he loves it. He wants to do it. It's just like, it's just so little, you know.
I know. It's so hard, but it will be such a good thing for you. And after some time passes, you'll be like, this is amazing. I have time to do what I want to do with all the things that you can't do.
But like my son, who dis?
It's some freedom for you, which is really nice.
Yeah.
I finally took down my Christmas tree today after 4 million years. I've never left it up this long, but there was just no time for that. But my sister was actually really sweet. My sister Jen was in town and she offered, she's like, can I come help you like do some stuff at your house? I know you've been so busy with dad. And I was like, yeah. Like that would be great. So she helped me clean out my hallway closet that literally since we moved here, we just shoved a bunch of boxes in there and it's supposed to be a coat closet.
Correction, you shoved all the boxes in there.
But it's been so filled to the brim that I've been like, nope, not looking at that. Like it had some like Halloween stuff in there, Christmas stuff. Like all the miscellaneous boxes got thrown in there during the move. So she helped me like organize that, finish taking my tree stuff down, my like mantle, everything. Like I got my room back to a regular room, which feels really good.
Yes,
so that was really
good.
Refreshing. And I was going through boxes and I found my old Furby.
Wait, what's Furby?
Wait, you don't know what Furby is from the 90s? Wait, how do you not know what Furbies are?
I was a dork. I don't know what's a Furby.
No, I mean, it's like they were like those little stuffed things with the big eyeballs that talk. They're like crazy looking.
The trolls have the same eyes.
They had big eyes with like big lashes and they had little beaks and they like talk. They talk? Yes, they're crazy. Like they like are the weirdest little things, but I like loved my Furby and I just found it and it still has the tag on it. It's in like excellent condition. I'm gonna get some batteries. I'm gonna reactivate it.
You're gonna like cuddle up with it on cold winter's day.
Cuddle up with that. I was like showing my son and he's like, oh, I've heard of these. I'm like, yeah, see, this is an ancient Furby from the 90s.
From the
1900s.
This is a pound puppy.
Let me show you my toy from the 1900s, son. Come over. And I did. I had a Cabbage Patch Kid. Like, I found a box of like toys, the one that I had paid so much money to like ship out to California and then drove back. Like, my husband was dying laughing at that. But I had like two boxes of all my old like stuffed animals. Yeah, like Garfield and Cabbage Patch and Pound Puppy and
Pound Puppies.
What else was Cusas, in there? So much.
Remember Cusas?
No.
Okay, so I can't believe you don't know what Cusa is.
Okay, see, I don't know what that is.
Cusa was the pet of the Cabbage Patch Kid. Cusa.
No, I don't even remember them having pets.
Mm-hmm.
But I had my Rainbow Bright and the Rainbow Bright like dog and that little like star thing from Rainbow Bright.
Yeah.
And yeah, all the fun like 80s, 90s toys that I
things
dug
you
out
had to like use your imagination with and like make talk and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Our pals.
Well,
so anyway. I'm glad you got some space and
I
cleaned out some stuff. It's good.
It feels good to like
especially
get all
with your
that
sister.
Out. Yeah, you know? And now I have room to, like, actually, like, I actually need more art for once in my life now, because now I see, like, where I'm at, different sizes of things, what I need, and I'm trying to, like, visualize what's going to go where,
and that means you get to go out and get it. You get to go out and get it.
Get to go out and hunt it down, my favorite part. I know.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing thrifting, too, because I'll just be like, what am I doing? Why am I going away from the school? I passed it again.
Like, oh, yeah. Go thrifting every day. Like, that's what you have to do just till you get comfortable. Like, that is my comfort thing. If I'm feeling, like, stressed or anxious or whatever, like, I don't even need to buy anything. I just need to go walk around in a thrift store and I'm so happy. Yeah. Or vintage shop, whatever.
It does regulate my soul.
Yeah, exactly. You want to kick us off this week?
I'll kick
and
us
let's
off.
Get
okay,
into some
so.
Stories.
I went deep diving for some sex tales.
Ooh, let's feel a little randy.
Let's just like spice it up a little bit. Okay, everyone needs a little spice in their lives. And boy, did I find some steam and some gross stuff too. So, okay. This one is from Reddit. And number 127 writes, late one night when I was in college, I decided to go for a run. This is not a sex story, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, where's this going to go?
This isn't one of the ones I was looking for. Okay. All right. So they go for a run. I jogged a few miles to a park and I was feeling pretty good. So I decided to finish by sprinting up a really big steep hill. I get to the top, now feeling like I'm about to pass out. And I stagger around, panting and gasping. I look up and I see the fleshy shadow of two people tangled up on a blanket a couple of feet away, clothes off to the side, looking at me and blinking. So they were having sex.
Okay, so this is a sex story.
I didn't realize.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm so oxygen deprived that I'm seeing spots, so I can't help but lurch around them like a pervert, taking these random enormous breaths while we stare awkwardly at each other. So he doesn't go away. He doesn't go back down. He can't. He's like about to pass out. So he's just like, oh, like stepping all around. They're like naked bodies. They were like
That has to look so crazy from their perspective, because they've just been busted, like, and there's like a zombie staggering around them, like,
like gasping for
breath. They're like, ew.
It takes all the energy out of it.
Yeah.
After 10 or 15 endless seconds, I turn around and try to scurry away. So that's pretty funny. It's embarrassing for both. You know, you're like getting into the heat of the moment, just having sex up on top of a mountain, and then, you know, get interrupted by some guy who's going to pass out.
Ooh, gross.
Hate when that happens.
Yeah. Never happened, but, you know, you can imagine.
Never happened.
Okay.
Maybe not. Not yet, Katie.
Not yet.
Never know.
This first story comes from Cora, and Lori Humes Powley writes, I had a membership at one of our local gyms. I was in my late 20s. I had been seeing someone at the time, but it wasn't serious. I'd been at the gym for about a month when it happened. I was on the treadmill with my earbuds in and rocking out to AC/DC Back in Black when a very hot guy climbed onto the treadmill next to me. I tried not to stare at him, but it was very hard to do as he had big muscles as well as he was gorgeous. He had beautiful blue eyes and dark brown hair that was cut short. I could tell that he liked the way he looked too, because he was wearing a tight-fitting shirt and shorts. I'm like,
she's like checking him out.
But that's such a turnoff to me if a dude's wearing like a super tight shirt. And
really? Why?
I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
Because of the vanity of it. It's a little bit vain, right? Like, they're like, oh, yeah.
I don't know. Just like a super, like, skin-tight shirt on a guy is not it for me. But if it's it for you, it was it for her. Okay. He also had a nice tan. He smelled amazing.
Okay, she's just full-on, like, ollie-gagging at this guy.
She is. She's drooling. I could smell a hint of coconut and lime.
She turns her face is like right here.
But she's like licking his sweat off of his tight shirt chest.
She's like catching it.
Every time our eyes met, we both smiled at each other. But that's when my bean burrito kicked in.
No.
It seemed more intense with every single step. The more I farted. And the louder and stenchier they became.
Wait, what is happening? She doesn't get off the treadmill right away?
She's walking like, and farting with the... Yeah, she's
just like,
having a bean burrito moment.
She clearly smells that and like sees it and hears it.
Yeah, it's mortifying. It seemed more intense with every single step. Of course, I was embarrassed. So much so that I stopped my treadmill and ran off into the women's locker room. So she doesn't say anything. She just turns it off and sprints, farting
the whole way.
She's just.
I think that's the right call.
Now it's like faster little farts.
Why are you going to eat a bean burrito before you go to the gym?
Bad move, I know. Maybe she ate it the night before. I don't know. But if she ate it for lunch and then went to the gym, it's a bad move.
It's just like, that's a kink or something. I don't know.
While I was leaving the gym in utter embarrassment, the lady at the counter stopped me to say, I think you have a secret admirer because he left this note for you.
Oh, no.
The note said, we all have a stenchy moment or two. Here's my number because I would like to take you out to the most amazing Mexican restaurant in town.
Okay,
I am serious. I waited a full week before calling him. We are now happily married for 15 years.
Oh my God.
Isn't that the happiest bean burrito fart moment? Like,
cute
what?
Bean burrito.
Meet cute moment. Fart moment.
That is meet cute farts. That's so sweet.
Send us
I'm
your
happy
meet
that
cute
that
farts.
Worked out. Okay, so right? So her like gazing at him so close and taking him all in, and then she farts and she leaves, and he leaves his number. It's perfect.
It was a love story. Started off with a bean. Maybe if she hadn't ran away from that bean burrito, he wouldn't have had the courage to talk to her. Maybe it was like, all right, now that she's farted it up so bad, she's ran away. I've got a chance.
I love you that know? He was like, we're going to Mexican, girl.
Maybe he's like, oh, do I detect? She was like coconut lime. He's like, do I detect a bean burrito? Do you want to go get Mexican after this?
This is too much. That's disgusting. Yeah, that's gross. Oh, but I'm glad they ended up together. It's a happy ending.
They did. It is. It is. What a beautiful moment.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. I love it when embarrassing moments end in 14 years of marriage.
15.
Okay, so this is also from Reddit, and Voice of Experience writes, in college, I had the best kind of roommate situation. I shared a bathroom with one guy, and we actually had separate rooms on either side of the bathroom. With that kind of privacy, I could have a lot of loud sex, and I did.
Nice.
One night, I was sitting on the edge of my bed with my girlfriend straddling me. It was that great kind of loud, dirty talking sex, and I started to spank her as she rode me. She loved it and kept asking for more, so I spanked harder as we got more and more into it. We got a lot of energy going, and I was smacking her ass pretty damn hard until I spanked out of sync with her movement. My hand swung down as her ass moved up, and I ended up missing her entirely and smacking myself in the balls with full force.
That is
hilarious. I doubled
hilarious.
Over and immediately fell off the bed, curled up on the floor, blinded by the sudden pain. My girlfriend had no idea what to do and thought maybe a cold washcloth would help, so she ran to the bathroom and threw open the door to find my roommate, pants around his ankles and dick in hand. He was masturbating to them.
Ew! He was masturbating to them? Oh, yes. God.
There was
ew.
An eternity. Of I just think that is so funny for some
no,
reason.
No, this is a great like, story. It's layered.
And he's like, So
there's three
there was
people
eternity.
Embarrassed in this story.
And that guy's like on in the background, like, oh, like he's just like, I don't know, doubled over and just in excruciating
but also,
pain.
He's finding out, great, you're masturbating to me and my girlfriend. Like, gross.
Yeah, why is that? Like, and she's like that too. Like, oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
There was an eternity of stunned silence as no one knew what to do or say. She slammed the door shut again. And that was the last time I saw my roommate that year. So yeah, he never saw his roommate again.
Yeah, his roommate's like, I'm never coming out of the bathroom. I live here now.
I'm out. Yeah. I like bolt the door on the other side.
Yeah,
shut.
He's like, this is my home.
So
and this is where I live now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is beyond awkward for
it's so awkward
everybody.
And so embarrassing for everyone.
Yeah, I'm that's a awkward. Great story. Okay, my next story comes from Quora, and Aaron Hill writes, I witnessed a situation that was as tragic as it was morbidly hilarious. Back in the day, I'd always heard that the grocery store was a really great way to meet girls, but I could never really figure out how to make it actually work for myself. One day, I'd finished my shopping at a busy time of day when the checkout lines were particularly long. And there they were. The couple directly in line in front of me were chatting away. I'm very sensitive to the energy of people, and the sexual sparks between these two were a four-alarm okay. fire.
I love this. This girl's just in the background like, like she's like,
it's a
like,
guy.
Watch.
It's a guy.
Oh,
yeah.
This guy is watching
it's a guy,
these
yeah.
two.
He's just watching these two people. And he's like, he was being witty. She was laughing at every syllable. She played with her hair and touched his shoulder, and he kept glancing from head to toe. Tons of eye contact. When I saw that they each had their own basket, I realized the two had met right there at the store. The conversation was all getting to know you banter, layered with a sweet frosting of sexual innuendo.
Oh my
Standing
God.
Only a couple of feet in line behind them, I was thoroughly entertained by the situation while they had no clue that I was even there. I just stood there and took it all in. It was so on. I was sure they were going to get to do it right there in the grocery store parking
Whoa,
lot.
Dude, pump the brakes, man. like, oh, he's like watching. If they had turned around, they would have seen like two saucers. Like,
I know, he's just like a voyeur, just like, whoa, they're making it work. But it's also like a case study in human behavior, you know, like he's just like, okay, how did he do it? How did they do it? I'm going to like study this.
That's sweet that someone's watching and took it in.
On and on it went as the line moved forward. He didn't even realize when he'd gotten to the front of the line as the checker started ringing in his items. The banter never slowed. The sparks only intensified. Then it happened. The cashier looks up to him and announces the total owed on his purchase. At first, he didn't realize what the cashier had said because he was so deep in conversation, totally engrossed by this pretty young woman. He simply turned to the cashier with a smile on his face and said, "Pardon?" As she repeated the total, his eyes widened, his mouth dropped. He glanced back at the girl one last time, then back to the cashier, then pulls out his wallet. He opened it up and with great apprehension slowly pulled out a stack of food stamp vouchers.
No, that's all so sweet. Aww.
All at once, as he handed the food stamps to the cashier, I could see him physically deflate. It seemed like he was suddenly an entire foot shorter. At the exact same time, the girl recoiled, turned to the side, and just stared at the magazine rack with a look on her face that quickly turned from shock to blank. So literally in that moment, they were all like flirty, sexy, having the best time. He pulls out food stamps and she was like,
I do not. I think romance defies food stamps.
Well, it should. Clearly it wasn't romance.
Keep going, girl.
The energy field that I could literally see surrounding them had instantly blown up into a mushroom cloud of disappointment.
Oh, no.
He finalized his purchase and slunk out of the store without another glance to the girl that he was so into just seconds before. In turn, she never looked towards him again. It was over. They never acknowledged each other again. She checked out her bags with a disappointed look on her face and went out the opposite door. I just stood there in amazement of what had just happened in front of me. The crass, immature comedian in me wanted to laugh hysterically. The hopeless romantic in me just wanted to cry for them. Just being a fly on the wall, watching the world's shortest romantic relationship from start to finish.
That's a, kind of a beautiful story. Like it this is. Guy took
Isn't
it all
crazy?
In, and they had
it's
no
like
idea
poetic.
That it was being recorded by someone behind them and really witnessed.
I know. That's I thought that really... was so beautiful, too. It was just like a little brief moment in time that he happened to see. But how sad. But also the guy was so caught up in her that he wasn't thinking about the fact that he was going to have to pay in front of her, explain to her or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And people have hard times. People have
times
financial
are
situations.
Tough, man.
Times are tough. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having to have assistance or anything
Not
else.
At
but
all.
It is just like sad and so embarrassing that it just instantly like deflated, you know, like it was like in front of him, like witnessing that, you know.
That is a roadblock, like something so stupid to roadblock, like you're like potentially having like that's your soulmate.
Yeah, he could have been
you know
the one.
I mean?
And who
he
knows what his future will look like, you know,
I
if
mean,
finances
that kind of
or
energy,
whatever.
And when you first meet, you don't get that every day.
You don't.
I mean? Whoa.
So that was her soulmate, and she just threw it all away over food stamps.
Yeah. That reminds me of there was a reality show. Obviously, we know reality shows are scripted, so maybe this was all planned. But it was a guy who was like, he went on, I think it was a billionaire, or like the million, who wants to marry a millionaire, but that he was secretly like totally broke. And so this lady like wants to marry him, and then all of a sudden, the last episode, he's like, I don't have any money. And she's like,
I'm out.
It recoils. Yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah, because clearly
that's a good one. I like that. That's a good sort of
it's
cool,
like slice
like
of life.
View
I know. I just thought it was fascinating. I was like such a beautiful little awkward slice of life that you witnessed. Like beautiful writing.
That's what it's about. You got to keep your eyes open for that stuff. Okay, this is another one from Reddit. It's Technical Plum 2239 writes. I was like 19 and went solo to St. Martin before internet existed. I had borrowed a friend's car who wasn't on the island. I went to a bar on the French side and hung out with some randoms, and we ended up partying, and I jump in a car to their house for more partying. We all got drunk, and I end up waking up on a couch on the porch, and a couple folks crashed on the floor, and it dawns on me that I have a flight that day. My shoes are somewhere, but I can't find them, so I have to leave without them. No one is up. It's like 7 in the morning. I have to thumb back to the restaurant
That's the worst, dude. I've been there. Like, that takes me back to being in your, like, early 20s and, like, partying and just, like, you got to leave in the morning and do something. And you're like, oh, where's my keys? Where's my this? Where's my that?
Where
like,
all my stuff.
To, dude, where's my car?
He left out his shoes. And he had to, like, hitchhike back.
So he just bounced without the shoes. He said, forget it.
Bounced. Right, yeah. He was like, I gotta go. Like, I don't want to miss my flight. So he bounces to where his car was. And the parking lot it was in is now an entire open air market. Just so he leaves his car in this parking lot. And the next morning he goes back and it's like a farmer's market.
Like, oh yeah. No.
Like there are vendors everywhere. So dozens of farmers selling their vegetables and fruits. A lady literally has a piece of fabric on my car covered with fruit because apparently I was in her spot.
He's like in her stall. She's like, get out of here.
It's so she like makes
his
it work.
His car is covered in oranges and kale.
She's like, it's oranges like, on the roof, apples down on the roof.
That's so hilarious.
No one is happy with me, understandably. A pissed off cop comes over and wants to find me. My car window is open with my book on the seat, but I don't have any money left.
Oh,
like,
no.
None. And I didn't have a credit card, just my book on the car seat and my airline ticket that was in the book still.
Wait, and didn't he say he borrowed someone's car too?
He borrowed, it's his friend's borrowed car who was on
the island. So this isn't even his car, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. So if it gets towed, like that's on the person, I guess.
And he's like, I'm leaving, bye.
And he's barefoot. And he's like, beep, beep, can you get your fruit off my car? So I have to make all these poor folks move their setup so I can drive the car out. So basically people had to like pick up their farmer's market and like
there
move
ain't
it
no
out of
way
his
you're
way.
Making that flight even without shoes.
Well, I feel horrible, but I cannot miss my flight. I have no money and no credit card, so I'd have no way to get home. So I drive to the airport and have to leave the car at the airport and wait until I get home to tell him where I left it. No cell phone those days either. So that guy's like, you borrowed my car and I have to what now? Like, I have to go to the island and get it? Like, what? So I had to fly with no shoes and just had to leave without my bag since I didn't have time to go back to the shack on the beach I was staying at. His bag is still out of the shack.
He didn't even have his bag. He didn't have his bag or his shoes.
No
he had
shoes.
No money, no cards. Like, I'm surprised he even had his ID and he could get on the plane.
No
That's
money.
Crazy.
No, exactly. So isn't that crazy? That's so embarrassing. But the vision of him, like, trying to get out of the farmer's market with only his car is in the farmer's market and everyone has their setup.
No, that's
going
a nightmare.
Like, so
I can picture it so well and that's terrifying. I
it's
hate
terrifying.
It. Okay, my next story comes from Cora and Murphy Dawson writes, when I was 12, I had an art teacher in my fifth grade class who was really young, like 23. She was not the best teacher. She basically left the students to do our own work while she did whatever she wanted on her computer without saying anything for an hour. The first 5 minutes of class was usually just an introduction of what we're supposed to do in class. I was not the brightest kid in fifth grade. Also, my teacher was a real slacker. I usually couldn't understand what half of what she said meant. That day was even worse, so I went over to my teacher to ask her for clearer instructions. Unfortunately, my 12-year-old self was also a clumsy-as-fuck kid.
No.
I tripped on a loose cord, and my hand knocked into my art teacher's coffee. The coffee went flying into her computer, and it all went black.
No. That's awful.
It gets worse.
He trips. Oh, no. I hate these stories. So her computer no longer, it's like, it's not working.
It's not working. She trips, yeah. My teacher screamed for about 3 minutes straight while I frantically tried to shake the coffee out of the computer. When it finally turned back on, there was a video on her screen.
No.
It was of a man and a woman kissing and having the most romantic time in their life semi-naked.
Okay.
I already mentioned I wasn't very bright and I didn't know what they were doing. My art teacher tried to shut the computer and video off, but more curious and not so innocent kids gathered around.
So wait, the art teacher is watching like porn? I was like,
yes.
Sensual porn.
She's like watching a porn while they're doing art and she's just like, God, kids, like I'm just going to watch this. Maybe it's her video. Who knows? She tragically failed and she ended up making us stand outside of her classroom while she shut the video off. I didn't realize how quote unquote inappropriate it was for a fifth grader to be watching things like that. I told my mom about it and she flipped out over 180 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
The interrogation was super awkward.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So she's like, and then what happened? And then what happened? And then what were they doing? And then she probably got fired, that lady.
Yeah, I hope so. You're freaking watching porn in your fifth grade class. It's so gross.
Crazy.
I know. And also, beyond.
Like, I don't ever pin that. This is just my own brain, but like on an art teacher. Like I always imagine art teachers like, okay, let's feel the color.
But she said she was 23. So like that I'm sure is part of it too. But like what are the odds that it took? Like she was just chilling and she comes over and trips on the cord, hits her coffee, knocks it into the computer because no one would have known otherwise. She would have just like hit her screen or closed it or like, you know, tilted it.
But it got stuck on it, right? Because of the coffee like malfunctioned it. That's so funny.
That's crazy.
Embarrassing. Embarrassment gets you fired. That's a really bad one.
In this case, it should. I hope she's not an art teacher anymore.
Okay. This is my last story. It's from Reddit again, and Roughing It writes, long time ago, I was having a relationship with someone I shouldn't. So we were sneaking around. We were staying at a friend's place in Colorado. Very cool, rustic fireplaces. Make sure the doors are locked because there are bears kind of place.
Oh, I love that. Right? Except for not the bears, but...
You're like, oh, I love being shut inside. And
maybe not the bears, but I like a cozy cabin. I like a little winter moment with some hot chocolate. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Look out the window, leave the bears outside. They're eating your garbage. You're like, oh.
It's cute.
So we were sleeping in separate bedrooms, but in the middle of the night, I decide, very unusually for me, to be naughty. So I psych myself into thinking I'm this uber sex kitten, put on nothing but a bathrobe, and sneak into his room. I slip out of my robe and under the sheets where he's asleep, and I climb on top of him, intending to wake him up mid-erection, which is, I didn't get that, and embody his
Well, yeah, she probably thought he was going to have some, like, you know, rolling around, like, yeah, like an erection middle of the night like, situation.
Like your finger was
just gonna
rolling around
going
like,
up.
Okay, so intending to wake him up mid-erection and embody this sexually adventurous fantasy woman I've created in my head. Whereupon he wakes up with a start, screams, and pushes me off him and off the bed because, as he later explains, he thought I was a bear. So he's like in this deep slumber and she gets in there and he's like, it's a bear. Like he must have really internalized that information that they're bears and you have to lock the doors. Maybe he's terrified.
That is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. This stellar moment was followed by wild confusion on his part, i.e., what are you doing? Why are you here? Not exactly my dream scenario. And then me hiding under the bed naked for 15 minutes in case our friend came looking to see what the yelling and loud thump was about. Although the sound of my ego deflating may have been louder. So she's like smushed under the bed naked in a cold cabin for 15 minutes. That is what I think is embarrassing. The most embarrassing thing is that she started out being like, this is going to be fun. This is going to be sexy. And then she just like ends up like smashed under her bed naked, like heart throbbing, like, oh, my God, like I just got yelled at by my boyfriend.
Who thought I was a bear.
But she doesn't even know why he yelled at her. And
the bear
her off
was
the bed.
Humping you. What's happening?
Like, that's a weird, that's someone who's a little, you know, jumpy, I would say.
Not a very furry bear, but, you know, I don't know.
Maybe she was. Maybe she had a lot of body hair.
I hope you apologize. Either that or, girl, he's just not that into you. Okay. My last story is anonymous, and she writes, I was working in a hospital as a sort of underling to the emergency physicians. One of my jobs was to get the mail from the mailroom and bring it to their department mailboxes, which were in the sleep room. The sleep room was a little suite in the back hallway designed for doctors to get some rest during a long shift. It wasn't fancy. There was a little twin bed made up with hospital linens, a small desk usually strewn with charts, a bank of six bleak-looking gray lockers, a dresser with drawers full of, I don't know what this is, but Lomotil and Farnagen?
Medications?
Some kind of medication. Cups. To get a doctor through a puking and pooping shift, whatever that means. On top of the dresser, the doctors had their mailboxes. Rounding things out were a little wall-mounted TV and a bathroom with a toilet at one end and a shower stall at the other. When the room was occupied, it was expected that the physician would lock the door. If someone tried the knob and it was locked, there was no disturbing that person inside except in the case of a real emergency. There were intercoms and phones to reach the doctor. If the door was unlocked, however, the room was fair game for cleaning, deliveries, and so on. One day I was returning from the mailroom and sorting the doctor's mail as I walked. Dr. A was working a split shift with Dr. B, and the two had both been out on the floor when I left the department. I rounded the corner and grabbed the doorknob, still looking down at my mail. I was expecting no resistance, and there was none. The knob turned smoothly, reassuring me no one was inside. Is that enough foreshadowing for you? Oh. I walked right into the room, still sorting the envelopes. I heard a deep male voice say, yes. Surprise. I looked up straight into a flaccid penis.
What?
It was it was attached to Dr. A, who was It was attached to Dr. A, who was reclining on the bed completely nude. His languid pose, even down to the lolling droop of his bits, seemed entirely deliberate, although I'll never know that for sure. My powers of reasoning totally left me. I couldn't take in any information except for who it was and that he had no tan lines whatsoever. Even his scrotum was magnificently bronzed. He was uncircumcised.
Bronze. So he's like tan all over his body?
Yes. He had no tan lines. He had a bronze.
So he like, there's some kind of tanning bed situation happening, right?
He had a bronze scrotum. Or he did like that lotion or something. I don't know.
Did he get sunburned?
He got in all the wrinkles. He got in all the wrinkles in the balls. He smoothed them out and he's filled them with tanning. He got in every single little wrinkle.
Spray tan? Okay.
I tore my eyes away from it with great effort, and I looked at his face for some acknowledgement of intent. His eyes, heavily lidded under most circumstances, gave nothing away. People may fantasize about seeing coworkers naked, but I was completely unprepared for this man's sudden and unsolicited nudity. My brain turned to runny scrambled eggs. I didn't mean to gawk at his noodle and meatballs, but there they were. Man, there they were.
Noodle and meatballs. Clearly, she is not going to ask him out.
I'm so sorry. The door wasn't locked, I gabbled, beating a hasty retreat. I threw the mail on the desk and fumbled backwards towards the door, probably windmilling my arms like an idiot, as if his penis was going to grow crocodile teeth and have a go at me. I got the door open. She's windmilling her arms back. I love it. Like a cartoon character. I fled backwards into the hallway. I used all my weight and pulled the door shut as if he was planning to chase me dongle out down a hospital corridor. Then I stumbled to the nurse's changing room and put my hot face against a cinder block wall for a whole 10 minutes. He left for a job in Florida not long afterwards. The incident was never mentioned. Knowing my boss at the time, if anything had come of it, I'm 100% sure I'd be played off as the one in the wrong. He took care of his pals. I will never know if he arranged himself au naturel on purpose or who he was expecting to come through that door. Was he an exhibitionist? Was I one of many treated to this gratuitous spectacle? Was he hoping to surprise Dr. B as he came in to get his mail? Did he have a standing appointment with one of the giddy girls from medical records? This took place over a decade ago, and each wrinkle of that man's floppy business is engraved in my mind to this day.
Not a fan. Your face. So I have to understand this. This guy goes in there and gets butt naked, and then he just like reclines, waiting, and he doesn't know any who's going to come in. It could be like an elderly patient who like wandered into the wrong place, but he's just like sitting there, like, "Hey, ladies and men."
That's
and
what
gentlemen.
She's wondering. She's like, "Was it for someone? Was it on purpose?" Because his reaction, like, he didn't, like, react at all. He was like, yes.
There's
he wasn't like,
really
hey, wait
funny.
A minute. Or, oh, I'm in here. Or, like, da-da-da. He just was, like, totally, like, reclined back, chilling.
But just chilling. And, like, there's
with
no,
his bronzed
I'm in
balls.
Here because he didn't carry bronzed balls. That's just, like, I don't, what do you do? What would you do if that happened to you?
Scream, I'm sure. But let me just read you the rest real fast. Okay.
Yeah,
his name wasn't a
yes.
common one, but I do hear the surname every once in a while. When I do, my mental index immediately flips to that first real life dick pic I ever received.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's traumatizing. I would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And like back, I would do the same kind of thing. But like,
you know, I think I'd just be like, dude, what are you doing? I would flip on the lights and be like, what are you
what it sounds
doing?
Like the lights were on. Like it sounds like, I mean, she saw it all. She saw bronzed balls. So like the lights
saw
were
bronzed
on.
Balls. Yeah, she could tell the color. Okay. Well, I mean, that's unfortunate.
You turn the lights off. You say, what are you
yeah,
doing,
you turn
man?
The
go
lights
to
off.
Sleep. Go to sleep. Yeah. Nobody wants to. You throw the mail at his bronze balls and you say, nobody wants to see that, you piece of shit.
Yeah,
you turn the light off
Katie.
And you walk out. And then you get fired because he tells his friend, and that's how the hospital
works.
What is
he expecting to happen? Is he expecting someone to be like, hey, 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 like take their clothes off?
Or maybe, like she said, maybe he was waiting for someone, you know? Maybe she was
fully naked. Oh, I mean, I get it.
Yeah. But if that's the case, it's like still lock the door and have a secret knock or something. You know what I mean? Like it's pretty ballsy.
Ballsy. <Pun intended. laughs>
It's pretty bronze ballsy to just leave yourself
in there.
He's
got a lot of balls to do that.
He did.
Wow, that's a good one to sort of put a pin in it.
Wrinkly floppy bits. I just want to say that for you one last time.
Flaccid Hospital.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
We love your emails. And if you want to send us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join them. See you next week.